This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, thank you, band, for leading us in worship. It's great being with you. You know, I was starting to get a complex that I'd never been asked to come and speak at CIU because Bill Jones is a member of my church and the dean of the students or the dean of the college is a member of our church. And then when I got the call to come, I thought, man, that feels good. That feels really good. But God always keeps your ego in check. Then I found out I was really just a substitute for somebody that canceled. But I'm really glad to be here. And you know, as Bill Jones's pastor, I need to tell you something about him. Bill is an extremely faithful church person. I mean, he is engaged in our fellowship. Whenever he's out of town, he's not going to be there, he'll send me a text just to let me know he's not going to be there. Whenever he knows he has a period of time when he's in town, he'll say, is there anything I can do at church because I'm going to be here for this period of time, like this summer. I asked him to teach a whole series on his new book, putting together the puzzles of the New Testament, and just did a great job. So I want you to know that about your president, that he is not just the president here, but he is an active church person. He's living it out. So I'm glad I'm able to share that with you. You know, I wanted to share with you, as I was praying about what to share, it came real quick what God wanted me to walk through with you, and that's Psalms 139. So get your Bibles out. We're going to walk through that entire chapter, because in that chapter is an incredible, in fact, it's a gutsy prayer, but it's one of those prayers that ought to be a regular prayer in your life, especially if you're going into ministry. It's a prayer that you should regularly talk to the Lord about. And as I was thinking about David writing this, this past November, I got to take my son over to Israel, and part of our trip, we were in the ruins of King David's palace. And as Mac and I were walking around, he's a worship leader and writes songs, and he uses the Psalms to help teach him about how to write songs worship songs. And as we were walking around and seeing the different parts of the palace, you know, I just told Mac, I said, just imagine, you know, maybe right over here in this corner, David was sitting on a pile of pillows and he penned some of the Psalms that we read, or maybe he was walking down some of these hallways and he was writing out some of these wonderful things that we're learning about God. And so as I was thinking about that and thinking about today, of us walking through Psalms 139, because I want you to see that the gutsy prayer at the end is based on a tremendous confidence in God being a master investigator. Now, I have great respect for guys who are judges. I don't know how they do it. When they sit in a courtroom and they listen to all the evidence and they make a decision based on the evidence, that, you know, if they had all the evidence, if they had all the information, their decision would be easy. If they knew all the facts, it would be easy. I know a lot of times in counseling, somebody will come in and they'll tell me some of the facts, and this is why God's not called me into counseling, and I'll just start giving them advice. And then as they're walking out the door, they'll say, oh, by the way, I meant to tell you one other thing. And they tell me that one other thing, and it changes everything. And I say, hey, wait a minute. All that advice I just gave you doesn't apply now, because you just changed the whole game here. Well, you see, God is the master investigator, so he has the information. And I want us to walk through Psalms 139 so that you will have absolute confidence in God as the master investigator, so that when you pray that gutsy prayer at the end, you'll have confidence that you're praying that prayer to somebody who's capable of answering that prayer. And so this is the scenario that I envisioned David going through, that he was just walking through why he had incredible confidence in holy God. So I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. He starts off by saying, and these are truths about God that David is telling us about. It says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up." Isn't that interesting that even the what seems so insignificant, God is very much aware of? He's aware of all the things in your life and that would just seem totally like, who cares when you stand up and sit down? But God knows those things. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my faults even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know when you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. God knows you so intimately that he knows what you're going to say before you say it because he knows you that well. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. In fact, he really says, all this knowledge, this is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. It's really too much for me to comprehend how much you know me, how well you know me, how intimately you know me. So I guess the bottom line in these first few verses is God knows everything about you. There is nothing he does not know. It makes me wonder why we're so slow to confess a sin, because he already knows it. There's nothing about you that God does not know. Well, then David goes a step further here. In verse 7, he says, "I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day." Darkness and light are the same to you. You see, God is the creator of the elements, so the elements don't affect him. So David is saying, not only do you know everything about me, you're everywhere. There's no place that God is not. God is everywhere. He's with you everywhere. God is present with you even when you're in some of your darkest sins. No matter how clever you think you might be, he's there. He's in those places. And even when God was in physical form here on earth through Jesus, Jesus would go to those places that the religious people wouldn't go. God knows everything about you. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. God is everywhere in your life, and there's no place he's not in your life. He can be trusted. He has all the information. Now, David is getting this broad view here about God. Now he's really making it personal. And he starts talking about himself in relationship to God in that verse 13, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." Wow. God made me. God knows everything about me. God is everywhere, and God made me. God made you. He got involved in your life before your parents even thought about you. "You saw me before I was born. I love this. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God planned out the day you were going to be born. You might have been a surprise to your parents, but you were no surprise to God. And God has planned out the day that you're going to leave this earth. You have no control over those 2 days, but what you have control over is what you do in between those 2 days. So God has a plan. I mean, I just cannot fathom the idea that God would be so intimately involved in my life before I was born, that he planned out the day I was going to be born and the day I was going to die, that he was intimately involved when I was being shaped and formed inside my mother's womb, that he thinks about me all the time and he's everywhere I am and everywhere I'm not, he's there, that God would say, okay, you're born now, you're on your own, I'll see you on the other side. That just doesn't make sense. You would think that not only did he plan out the me, shaping me and forming me, he had a purpose for my life, a plan for my life, that there's a reason why I'm here. And if that's true, I need to find out what that is and be engaged with that and doing the thing. I mean, that he would have not only the day I was born and the day I was died laid out, but what I'm to do between those 2 days. So David has incredible confidence in Holy God. And I need to share that confidence. And then verse 17, to me, man, this is overwhelming to think about, to try to comprehend. I just can't comprehend this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Now, next time you head down the beach and you get really, really bored, grab up a palm full of sand and just start counting the grains. If you go to the beach and you find up your friends are really boring, that's something you can do. And so just start counting the grains of sand just in the palm of your hand. Now you're going to say, that's ridiculous. I couldn't even count the grains of sand, nor would I want to invest the time to do it just in the palm of my hand. And then as you try to grasp just what that number is, imagine all the grains of sand that are on that beach that you're on, and then start working your way up and down the East Coast and then around the Panhandle and up the Gulf Coast, and they go up the West Coast, and just imagine all the grains of sand just on the beaches of the United States, and then start going to all the coastlines throughout the world, imagining all those grains of sand, and then you got to put in all the desert sand and how much of that's out there. I mean, it's a number that's just astronomical. There's no way. In fact, only one person knows that number, and that would be God. Nobody else could even begin to calculate that number. And David says, God, the number of thoughts that you have about me outnumber the grains of sand on this planet. Well, if God is thinking about me that much, I want to know what he's thinking, right? If he's thinking about me that much, me as an individual that much, I want to know what he's thinking. What are you thinking about me, O God? Then David said, when I wake up, you are still with me. Even during the night, when I'm sound asleep, you're there with me. And when I wake up, you're still there. Now, David changes gears a little bit here. He said, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Don't worry, God's got that part. He will take care of that. That's his business. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh, Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Well, you know, I take a couple of things out of these verses. First of all, I need to look at sin the way God looks at sin. I need to look at rebellion the way God looks at rebellion. But I think there's a lot of misuse about these verses. I think some of us think that we're called to be Christian assassins. And, well, it's like when you start saying things like, you know, our church would be an awesome church if that person just wasn't in our church. Have you ever thought that? Not, come on. Have you ever thought that? Sure. Oh, we got a confessor right here. That's great to think, to admit that. I mean, I was a youth minister for 12 years, and that was a kind of a regular prayer of mine. You know, I would go home sometimes from youth group. We'd have great youth group. And then I would start saying, Lord, you know, that guy in our youth group is about to drive me crazy. Can you please transfer his dad to another state? I mean, I prayed that. And every time, I mean, even as a pastor, there, you know, I've been tempted to pray that. Lord, man, we'd be awesome if that person just wasn't here. And here's what God says to me every time I pray that prayer. Don, if I started cleaning house of everyone who falls short of my glory and short of my standards, you'd be out in the first sweep. I said, okay, God, I got you. I'll stop praying that prayer this week. See, don't take on God's job about things like that. Yes, see how God sees things and make sure it's applied in your life, but wow. Now we get down to the gutsy prayer. David has acknowledged that God knows everything. God is everywhere. God is intimately involved in shaping you and molding you. He planned out the days of your life before there was a single one of them. He knew what they were going to be. He has a purpose for your life. He thinks about you so much that you couldn't even begin to count the number of thoughts that he has about you as an individual. He thinks about you so much that it would outnumber the grains of sand. So David has incredible confidence in the master investigator here, and so he comes down to this gutsy prayer, this prayer that needs to be a regular prayer in your life, and here's what he says. Search me, O God. Doesn't say, Lord, if you search that person sitting two rows behind me, you'll find a lot of stuff to work on. And he says, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Oh, man, that's real gutsy. You ask God to test you? And know my anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts are those things that keep you from living a life of faith. Point out anything in me that offends you. You know, a lot of times we get so focused on not offending others, we don't even think about whether we're offending God or not. And, you know, as a pastor, sometimes I'm tempted with that in that, you know, all right, if I do this, this person over here might get offended. And if I don't do this, this person over here might get offended. You know, I realize I'm asking the wrong questions. God, are you offended by what we do or don't do? So he says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You know, I try to make this a regular prayer of my life. And when things get out of balance in my life, I know I've got to go back to this prayer. And I will tell you, every time I've ever prayed this prayer, I've yet to have God to come back to me and say, oh no, Don, you're doing great. There's nothing to work on. There's always been something. Now, I'm very, very grateful about God that He has never brought out His spiritual floodlight on me. He brings out His spiritual spotlight. You know, a spotlight will concentrate a beam of light into a particular area. And so God graciously points out something I need to work on in my attitude, in my habits, in my actions, or in the things I'm failing to do. He will graciously point those things out. Because I want to tell you, you don't want God turning on His spiritual floodlight. If He turned on the floodlight, which lights up everything, and you saw all the things in your life that were contrary to God, offended God, that were short of His glory, you and I would die from grief. We would feel absolutely helpless and hopeless. But God graciously says, "Nah, Don, here's what you need to work on. You got a real attitude over here about this, and you got to work on that. You've allowed this sin to creep back into your life, and you've got to get a handle on that. I've set you free from that. Why do you keep imprisoning yourself back in that sin again?" Here's something you're not doing that I've designed you to do. You're living out of fear. And you know, every decision you make out of fear is going to be a bad decision. You don't spend time with me like I long to spend time with you. If you thought about me just a fraction of how much I think about you, you'd be astounded. So my question for you, and you know, one of the dangers of being in a Christian school and being in seminary is that we're so busy learning about God and about His Word and about ministry that we fail to spend time with God personally. We're busy with the same thing's true in church. I can get so busy doing stuff for God that I don't take time to be with God. And God's really not concerned about what I can do for Him. So my question to you is, are you willing to pray this gutsy prayer? "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting life."
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.